Hello, I'm Father Ron Shibley, founder and director of the Anglican Internet Church. Welcome to this podcast homily for First Sunday after the Epiphany. Listeners may benefit from the AIC seasonal video series Epiphany, the Manifestation of Christ to the Gentiles, which is presented in three episodes, each linked from the digital library page, with the MP3 podcast version linked from the podcast archive page at www.anglicaninternetchurch.net. The series offers a brief history of the evolution of Epiphany season, Anglican traditions of Epiphany, commentary on the Collect, Epistle, and Gospel readings for Epiphany Day and the six Sundays after the Epiphany in the 1928 Book of Common Prayer. The Collect, Epistle, and Gospel readings for First Sunday after the Epiphany are discussed in Episode 2. The Epistle reading for First Sunday after the Epiphany, Romans 12, 1-5, is a short pericope from St. Paul's longest epistle, which was chosen because it reinforces the Church's teaching on the unity of the Church as one body under one Christ. It also contains St. Paul's warning about the difference between the needs of the secular world and the spiritual requirements of the Christian faith consistent with the will of God, offering this advice in verses 1b and 2. Present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your faith. He interprets faith as a gift of the grace of God in verse 3 and offers instruction on the proper way to understand the unity of the Church in verses 4 and 5. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. The Gospel reading for First Sunday after the Epiphany is Luke 2, verse 41-51, St. Luke's unique glimpse of Jesus' childhood, traditionally known and depicted in art and stained glass windows under the title Teaching the Doctors in the Temple. This reading from St. Luke's Gospel is the only glimpse in the New Testament of the period between Jesus' circumcision on the eighth day after his birth, celebrated in the Feast of the Circumcision on January 1st, and the beginning of his ministry in Galilee as an adult. St. Luke shares with us an event which occurred when Jesus was just 12 years old. As St. Luke told us earlier in chapter 2, the Holy Family had accepted the obligation under the law of having the child circumcised on the eighth day, and further, the obligatory purification of mothers on the 40th day after childbirth, celebrated in the Feast of the Purification of St. Mary the Virgin on February 2nd. In the modern practice of the Jewish faith, this incident in Jesus' 12th year is the rough equivalent of the bar mitzvah, a ceremony in which a boy becomes a man. The Holy Family had gone to Jerusalem for the Passover feast. After the feast had ended, Mary and Joseph and their traveling party, which St. Luke calls kinfolk and acquaintances in verse 44, headed home to Nazareth. They had been on the road for a full day before they realized that Jesus was not in the entourage. When his absence was discovered, they turned back toward Jerusalem and sought him out. They searched the city for 2 whole days with no result, but on the third day, perhaps symbolically prefiguring his 3 days in the tomb, they found him in what I am sure was the place they least expected to find their missing 12-year-old son, in the temple. The temple, as it existed at that time, was King Herod's massive complex built upon the much smaller second temple built by Zerubbabel after the return of the exiles from Babylonian captivity. Zerubbabel is mentioned in Luke's genealogy of Jesus in chapter 3. St. Luke says that they discovered him, quote, sitting in the midst of the doctors, unquote. Here, doctors does not mean medical doctors in the modern sense, but the wisest and most important scholars and high priests and scribes of the temple. In the stained glass window depicting this scene at St. Joseph's Villa Chapel, Richmond, Virginia, by Franz Mayer of Munich, all the doctors are looking toward Jesus, who is at the center of the scene. In the stained glass window at the National Shrine of St. Francis of Assisi in San Francisco, California, possibly by F.X. Zettler or another artist who worked in the Munich style, only one doctor is shown. St. Luke tells us in verse 47 that Jesus was, quote, both hearing them and asking them questions, and all that heard him were astonished at his understanding and answers. St. Luke reported in verse 48 that Mary was confused about what had caused Jesus to do this thing, and she asked him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." Jesus replied to the Blessed Virgin in verse 49, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" This is often taught as meaning that Christians should regularly attend church, just as Jesus was there in the house of his Father. But I think the intended meaning was something else, that Jesus, having honored his greater obligation to his Father in heaven, is shown by St. Luke as being obedient to his earthly parents, honoring the concept of family. St. Luke reports in verse 51 and 52 that even having said to the Blessed Virgin that he was about his Father's business, he willingly returned with them to Nazareth, where, according to St. Luke's account, he subjected himself to his earthly parents, thus honoring the commandment to, quote, honor thy father and thy mother. St. Luke also tells us in verse 50 that neither Mary nor Joseph understood the meaning of his visit to the temple. We also know from St. Luke's narrative that the Blessed Virgin, chosen by God amongst all others owing to her righteous life and her own obedience, kept this issue, quote, in her heart, in verse 51. Keeping something in the heart is, in both the Hebrew and Christian traditions, is not a reference to the bodily organ that pumps blood through the body, but to one's innermost being and consciousness. This idea is central to the Christian discipline known as Christian spirituality. As I mentioned in the podcast homily for Epiphany Day, the name Epiphany comes from several Greek words which mean to shine forth or to light itself. As Christians, we recognize that as Jesus himself said in the Gospel of St. John, that he is the light of the world. And as St. Luke and St. John both observed, he is the light that shines in our inner darkness. Other AIC resources on topics discussed in this podcast homily for First Sunday after the Epiphany are available at our website, www.anglicaninternetchurch.net. Seasonal videos and Christian education videos are linked from the digital library page, Bible study videos linked from the Bible study page, and podcast versions of all three are linked from the podcast archive page. Information about our bookstore publications is available through the virtual bookstore link at the bottom of the homepage. First, the 12 Days of Christmas, a seasonal video series presented in 12 episodes, from the first day of Christmas, December 25th, through 12th day of Christmas, January 5th, with a theme word or phrase for each day. And I point out especially on this occasion, the fifth day of Christmas, December 29th, when the theme word is obedience, and the seventh day of Christmas, December 31st, when the theme word is family. Demonstrations by the Blessed Virgin and Joseph at the time of the incident described in today's gospel reading. the New Testament Gospels, a multi-episode Bible study video series. The Gospel reading for First Sunday after Epiphany, Luke 2:41-51, is discussed and illustrated in Episode 15, with illustrations including the Mayor of Munich's stained glass window teaching the doctors in the temple on page 38 in the AIC bookstore publication Paintings on Light, the stained glass windows of St. Joseph's Villa Chapel, and also of the stained glass window at the National Shrine of St. Francis of Assisi in San Francisco. The Lives of the Saints, the second series, a multi-episode Christian education video series. Episode 29 is focused on Leo the Great. Joseph of Arimathea is the subject of Episode 19. Christian Spirituality, an Anglican Perspective, an AIC bookstore publication, includes discussion of the concept of taking the Church's teaching to heart, presented in the context of Archbishop Cranmer's responses to the commandments, and the apostolic wisdom of St. Peter and St. Paul, St. James and St. Jude, and the writings of the late 17th century Anglican divine, the Blessed Lancelot Andrews, on procession of the Spirit and the manner of prayer. Layman's Lexicon, another AIC bookstore publication, where you'll find an entry for virtue, or virtues in the plural, on pages 234 and 235. And finally, the St. Chrysostom Hymnal, an AIC bookstore publication, offers traditional Epiphany hymns or carols which are not found in the 1940 hymnal. In lieu of a closing prayer, I offer the words of the hymn, O Christ, our true and only light, which is hymn 50 in the St. Chrysostom Hymnal, which was written in Germany by Johann Hiermann in the early 17th century, and here we use a 19th century translation by Catherine Winkworth. In the St. Chrysostom Hymnal, it is arranged to the 17th century long meter tune, Breslau. O Christ, our true and only light, illumine those who sit in night. Let those afar now hear thy voice, and in thy fold with us rejoice. Fill with the radiance of thy grace the souls now lost in error's maze. And all, O Lord, whose secret minds some secret delusion hurts and blinds, and all who else have strayed from thee, O gently seek thy healing be, to every wounded conscience given, and let them also share thy heaven. O make the deaf to hear thy word, and teach the dumb to speak, dear Lord. Who dare not yet the faith avow, though secretly they hold it now. Shine on the darkened and the cold, recall the wanderers to thy fold. Unite those now who walk apart, confirm the weak and doubting heart. So they with us may evermore such grace with wondering hands, wondering thanks adore, and endless praise to thee be given by all the church in earth and heaven. Until next time, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be merciful to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Glory be to God for all things. Amen. This program has been a presentation of the Anglican Internet Church. We invite you to visit our website and make use of its resources at www.anglicaninternetchurch.net.